A new study is shedding light on why there are fewer native bumblebees in Midwestern states than there used to be. Part of the answer changes in the way we farm. Bumblebees are key pollinators for many crops and native plants. Our guest worked on this study and has some recommendations to help bring those bumblebee populations back up. Jeremy Hemberger is an ecologist and entomologist at the University of California, Davis. He got his PhD from UW-Madison. He specializes in how insects, especially bumblebees, respond to changes in the landscape because of agricultural practices and climate. Jeremy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
How do bumblebee numbers today compare to what they were at the beginning of your study about 150 years ago?
It's a great question. Recently, we've seen a lot of a big decline in bumblebee numbers. Most notably, people have focused on like the rusty patch bumblebee, which has kind of captured people's hearts. And species like that are much rarer nowadays than they used to be. And this is true for a majority of the bumblebee species that we actually have here in the Midwest.
Why are native bumblebees important? Why are they a big deal for agriculture and the environment?
Sure. Yeah. So in Wisconsin, we have about 20 species of native bumblebees. It's not just one like we think of with the common European honeybee. And these are a really important ubiquitous pollinator. They visit a bunch of different crops like cranberries, blueberries, and apple. And they're also omnipresent in the landscape, just pollinating other plants that we care about, things like open tall grass prairies and such. And they're just a very charismatic species. They're something that we kind of identify with. We associate them with spring. They're these big, fluffy, furry things that fly around. I like to liken them to like these flying teddy bears. And they're just something that people seem to really identify with. And as such, we have a pretty good understanding of their numbers over time because people have collected them. They've identified them over those periods.
In this report I mentioned, Jeremy, you look at bumblebee numbers and how they correlate with how we farm, what choices we make in our crop production. What kind of things did you find out?
Sure. So, yeah, we were looking for, the study was really motivated by trying to figure out how changes in the landscape affect bumblebees. And as I started my PhD, I thought about this in a more contemporary sense, doing experiments, manipulating conditions in the landscape now. But we were always wondering how changes in agriculture over time really impacted these bees. And thanks to some data brought forth by a colleague of mine, Mike Crossley, who's a co-author on this study, we had this really cool data set that actually described changes in agricultural conditions from the U.S. Census of Agriculture from the 1850s all the way to present. So we had a really good idea of how the amount of cropland and the diversity of crops that we grow change over time. And what we found is that it's not just the amount of cropland that affects bees. We thought that as cropland increased, as colonizers took over the landscape and started to plant these large farms, we thought that would be really negatively associated with bumblebee numbers. But that actually wasn't necessarily the case. The amount of cropland in our landscapes in the Midwest actually peaked around 1900, and it's actually been pretty steady since then. And back then, we still saw that bumblebees were very likely to occur in the landscape. We saw a great diversity of species back then. And what really happened was in the 1940s and 50s, right after World War II, agriculture began to specialize, and it began to focus on growing a select few crops, primarily for agriculture and for feedlot production for animals. And with that, the decline in diversity of crops, we really saw a dramatic decline in bumblebee diversity. And that seems to be the most important lesson that we've learned from this, is that it's the loss of these diverse agricultural landscapes that grow multiple types of crops, have smaller farms. That seems to be what seems to be driving bumblebee numbers.
Talking to Jeremy Hemberger, ecologist and entomologist at the University of California, Davis. He got his PhD at UW-Madison looking at native bumblebee populations in Wisconsin and their connection to changes in the landscape, especially the farming landscape. Jeremy, does this point us toward answers to currently troubled native bumblebee species?
It certainly does. So I think one of the things that we took out of the study that really heartened us was that agriculture and bumblebees aren't necessarily at odds with one another. Certainly the way that we do agriculture now might be, but we can still have agriculture and bumblebee conservation that coexists in the same landscape. And there really seems to be opportunities to increase the number and diversity of bumblebees by rediversifying our agriculture to promote greater crop diversity. So moving from growing just corn, soy, and alfalfa to perhaps growing some other things, reintroducing pastures, wheat, small grains, stuff like that. And also using associated with that less chemical inputs and increasing the diversity of other flowers. And these include non-crop plants, just like what we commonly call weeds in the landscape. So if we can help kind of bring back some of the elements of agriculture of yesteryear, that might have some beneficial impact on bumblebee populations as well.
That's something that people with large fields can do. Can someone with just, say, a small yard make a difference in their plant selections?
Definitely, yeah. I think collectively, a lot of folks, particularly in the Madison area, are really, really cognizant of bumblebee and bee conservation generally and already do this. But people can plant any sorts of native flowering plants in their yards, primarily those that will bloom all throughout the year. So bumblebees are this kind of unique bee that have a very long life cycle that starts in April and May and goes all the way into September and sometimes even October. So providing plants that are blooming throughout that entire period of time is really important, and also minimizing disturbances that we make in our garden. So bumblebees are a native species that like things kind of messy. They nest in these underground cavities that are formerly occupied by rodents. They'll nest in kind of holes in rock walls and in tree holes. So they like things to be a little bit less clean than we typically like kind of a manicured lawn. And also minimizing the amount of pesticides, particularly insecticides that we use in our gardens, will also be really beneficial for them as well. So if folks can do those kind of three combination things, then that's a good thing for bumblebees.
And getting back to agriculture, are you hoping to see outreach efforts to farmers to encourage some of the crop diversity you're looking for here?
Definitely. And I don't want to try to put this too much on the heads of farmers. This is largely the changes that we've seen are not necessarily choices that farmers have made themselves. These are largely market forces that have pushed growers into these kind of production landscapes as we see them today. But there's certainly growers out there now that practice a little bit more diverse agriculture, particularly in areas like the Driftless region. There's some in Dane County and where Madison's located as well. But these are largely changes that we'd like to see come from the top, from farm bill policies and et cetera, that can help to kind of re-guide how we actually treat our landscapes with regard to agriculture.
What are some of the most nagging open questions you still have about native bumblebee populations here in the Midwest?
That's a great question. The truth is that with a lot of these species, we really don't know a whole lot about them. We know a lot about a select few species, things like rusty patch to an extent, and some of the more common species that we can see and we can rear in the laboratory and experiment with. But the majority of species we really know little about. So all these patterns that we found in our study are largely correlative. We don't have a causal link that necessarily says that agriculture changes bumblebees. It's that they're coordinated. They co-occur through time. So we'd really like to do some more experiments with some of these rarer, less abundant species to try to understand their biology, their ecology, and how they actually respond to these landscapes a little bit better. And with that, we'll be able to actually confirm these patterns that we've found in our study and help kind of guide the conservation of those species.
Just briefly, as we wrap up, Jeremy, do you have an experiment underway right now on one of those species?
Currently not, no. So I've kind of transitioned my work in California, and I'm actually working with how heat waves, which is a pretty relevant topic these days, affects bumblebees and their foraging and behavior and how that associates with crop pollination. But I'm actually moving back to the Midwest in August, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to continue working with some of these species there and kind of pick this work back up.
And we'll talk to you then, I'm sure. Jeremy, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Jeremy Hemberger, ecologist and entomologist who got his PhD from UW-Madison. He's now at the University of California, Davis, for now, it sounds like. We talked to him about his research on bumblebees, how lack of crop diversity may have helped drive their numbers down in the Midwest, and point toward a solution to bring them back in the future.